Welcome to Great Minds. It's the podcast that looks beyond the glass at the culture, the history, the business, and the art of wine. I'm Gina Birch.
And I'm Julie Glenn. This is a podcast where we're not going to tell you what you should like and what you shouldn't like, because honestly, if it works for you and you like it, then it's probably good wine to you.
Yes.
Hey, Gina, there's this phenomenon that's been going on that I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's called Dry January.
This sounds vaguely familiar.
All right. Well, what it is people choose not to drink anything alcoholic, including wine, for a whole month.
My heart just stopped a little bit. And not the George Clooney walked in the room kind of heart stop, the horrified heart stop.
I admire people that do this. I mean, my liver would probably bethink me, you know?
Yeah, I agree, you know, and I understand where somebody wants to be more healthful. And I get that. At the beginning of the new year, I'm like, gosh, I've had way too much cheese. I've had way too much alcohol. I've had too much of everything.
Yeah.
And I should probably dial it back and get into some routine, maybe start exercising more. You know, all those things that we want to do. We want to start off fresh and clean. But to completely deny yourself is a recipe for disaster and failure, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's kind of it would be a tough resolution, cause especially if you're interested in wine, you want to taste it every once in a while. I mean, you don't have to overdo it.
Well, and it's not just that. I mean, I think, wine is not about overconsumption, and it's not about getting drunk. It's about the experience. It's about having it with food. It's about learning. It's art and poetry in a glass. So I know not everybody looks at it like that when you're slamming them down at happy hour, but you
two
know,
for one,
yeah,
that's always the best, right?
Yes, we can skip that and just instead of getting all that quantity, just spend some money on a good bottle and then just have two glasses and enjoy the quality instead of the quantity. That's my take for the new year.
Yeah, I think that maybe my resolution might be something along the lines of don't spend money on wines that are kind of okay just because it's a good price. But
yeah,
just save it up and get a better bottle and you end up drinking less anyway.
Exactly. And you savor it more. And
exactly.
I know wine does have some health benefits to it.
It does. There's some good stuff going on in there, but then there are also the calories. So I did a story a while back. I don't know if anybody listening knows this or reads the Fort Myers News Press, but, Gina does a regular wine column in the Fort Myers News Press.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do a regular wine column in the Naples Daily News. One of the things that I wrote about was about calories. Of course, I did it right around Halloween time, so I was comparing the calories in your glass of wine.
Oh, that's very smart.
To different kinds of candy that you're going to find.
Like candy corn or...
Yeah, things that you're going to steal from your kid's plastic pumpkin to hide from them because sugar's bad for them. Well, then, you look at yourself and how much sugar am I having in wine?
Right. Well, the bad thing about that is wine does not come with any labels on the back. No, we don't know how much sodium or how much sugar, how much carbs, how much of anything is in that bottle because it's not required to be there. So it's kind of like a crapshoot when it comes to that. Alcohol, the ABV, is the only really true way to measure, but that's just on the surface as well.
And that's the only thing that you're going to learn is what percent of alcohol is in that bottle of wine. So you end up having to be kind of a bit of a detective. And the things that give calories to wine, or the things that contain calories in wine, are sugar and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found interesting is that alcohol has more calories per gram.
Per gram, yeah.
Than sugar.
Almost double.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sugar has 4 calories per gram, and alcohol has 7.
Right.
So you can sit there and you can drink a high alcohol red that's really dry, doesn't have very much residual sugar at all, but if it has 15% alcohol, that will have more calories in it than a sweet Riesling that has a low alcohol percentage but all the residual sugar.
It's hard to wrap your head around that when you're drinking something that's drier and you think, gosh, this must be better for me. But, man, some of those California reds are the worst offenders when it comes to high alcohol and high calories.
Yeah, so warmer climates tend to have more alcohol usually,
yes.
I think,
because warmer
there's more
climates.
And here's the reason is because if you have more sugar development in a grape because it's hotter weather or warmer weather, then you have to turn more of that sugar into alcohol.
Right.
In order to make it taste like wine instead of grape juice.
Exactly. And then, you know, that's a complicated process. And then you have the wines that sugar is actually added, like some of the champagnes. I mean, and that has to be added in the fermentation process to create the bubbles. So it's not that they're trying to add it for it to be sweeter. I mean, it's necessary to create the end product that we all love so much, and that's what tickles our tongue when we sip on it.
To give that yeast something to eat to make that bubble happen in the bottle afterwards. But still, when you look at the different calorie counts of different kinds of wines, sparkling wine generally comes in at the bottom. I mean, it's
lower on the totem pole.
Yeah, it has fewer calories than most. So it's kind of like the diet wine.
And Prosecco is even lower. Typically, because they don't add any sugar, and the process is completely different from the method Champenois. So they don't add that sugar. They pick the grapes when they're when they have. It's just it's all in the farming. They can pick it when there's less sugar, dry ferment them, and get it to a place where there's less alcohol and less sugar.
Yeah, and you know, Prosecco being in a warmer climate, they can have more natural sugar developing and things like that. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting when you look at it. And then, of course, then there's the serving size. I mean, you know, some of these things, when you read about the calorie count, they'll say that the serving size is 4 ounces. And I don't know anybody who pours 4 ounces of wine in any glass.
Well, when you look at something like the Mayo Clinic, and if we want to get really official here and people that do research and delve into this stuff, the standard pour is 5 ounces. So you're right. On a lot of the diet websites, they put 4 ounces, which is extremely misleading, because when I go out to a restaurant, I don't know anyone that pours 4 ounces. When I open my own bottle at home, I can control that. But most of them are going to pour a minimum 5, maybe 6. And then you have some that will allow you to get a 9 ounce. They'll let you get two or three different sizes in glasses, which then you're really, whew.
And then, yeah, there goes your diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say goodbye.
But we do have the
resveratrol.
Resveratrol. I always want to reverse that. Yeah. Resveratrol and
Reversitol.
Yeah.
It reverses all your aging. We wish.
Definitely. And it's in the skin of grapes. And so that's one of the arguments that people will use for it. Well, drinking red wine or drinking any wine has some health benefits because it's got that component in there. But then dietitians will say, well, why don't you just eat a bunch of grapes instead of drinking it after with the alcohol and the sugar?
Yeah, there are other things that do contain resveratrol.
Yeah.
But when they were doing the Blue Zone study, well, there was a study that the Blue Zones is based on, that it was a National Geographic thing. They found the communities where there are more people who live to be older than 100 years old, different communities throughout the world. One of them was in a community in Sardinia.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that people in Sardinia universally did that they believed could have contributed to the longevity of the people that lived there was they all drank the local grape, which is Cananao. It's a red wine. And that grape actually does have a fair amount of resveratrol. I mean, not all grapes are created equal.
True.
That one does have a lot. I think Malbec also has a lot of resveratrol. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak out of turn. I don't have my research right in front of me. But I looked it up and tried to find out which grapes had more resveratrol. But anyway, the Cananao did. But they didn't overdrink again. So they would have, you know, those little Italian little juice glasses, you know, not a wine glass, and just have that with lunch throughout the afternoon. And then in the evening, it's not to the point of getting drunk, but just it's part of the dining process.
Right. And, you know, you look at, there have been studies done all over the world, and some of them say that moderate drinking lowers the risk of heart disease. It can reduce the type 2 diabetes, lower the risk of stroke, cut the risk of cataracts and colon cancer, and slows brain decline. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So if you're a wine liver, I'm like, yes, I want to believe all of that. But then there's that one little word at the end that starts with an M.
Oh, moderation.
Moderation. And so that is what throws the monkey wrench into everything, because moderation is exactly what you said. That little cup, 5 ounces, is what Mayo Clinic would say is moderation. 1 for women, 2 for men a day.
So unfair.
That's tough.
It's so unfair.
Yeah.
You know?
You open a bottle of wine, that's going to be 2 glasses each. I mean, come on, at least give me one more in my moderation.
I know. I don't want to leave it in the fridge for tomorrow.
No.
It's a tough one. But, yeah, so there's the resveratrol, and then there's also the anti-stress/relaxation part of consuming something like alcohol that kind of helps people to unwind sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you unwind too much, when I was doing that story, I could not get one doctor to say, yes, I think wine is healthy for people.
Yeah.
And they would say, yeah, it may have some health benefits, but the downside is so staggeringly bad for right. so many people.
You know, you're right. I mean, that it raises your blood pressure. It not even to mention the whole addiction thing, which is a whole another thing. But yeah. anything in excess is not good for us, period. Yeah. You know, we all know that. It's just...
Yeah.
Just sucks.
Me and tater tots. And then yeah. you have people marketing wine. There's the wines that want to claim that they're diet wines. Have you ever looked at the calorie counts on some of those?
I have, but what I find more interesting about it than the calories, which of course is what they're sucking us in with, is we're going back to that pour again. Mm-hmm. It's a 4 ounce. Wow, it's only 100 calories. It's Skinny Girl or it's Diva or it's whatever. And I'm not, you know, knocking any brands because I don't have their labels right in front of me right now. But that's something you need to look at. You really do need to look at the fine print. I know there's a Prosecco that both of us have tried and like.
Yeah, it's called Silt Bar.
Yeah, and that's down 49 calories, I think, for the Brut.
They say 49
63
calories.
Or 53, 63, I think, for the Rosé.
Yeah. I got to say, the last time I tried it, I preferred the Brut to the Rosé. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm all about Rosé. So
right.
I was surprised to find that I liked the Brut better than the Rosé last time. And it's a good wine. I don't know. I would like to see the science behind how they tabulate the number of calories in those glasses.
Well, you know, we were talking about how the average consumer, anyone listening right now, can get that bottle of wine and you can look at the alcohol by volume, the ABV number. It's on the label, usually on the side or on the bottom in small print. You probably have to get out your reading glasses to see it. And then you can figure...
Sometimes you have to tilt the wine
yes,
a certain way. And it's
exactly.
just the teeniest thing. And then they'll have just one shade lighter black than the black label
yeah.
or something. And you're just like, come on, just tell me.
So you've known from listening to us that one gram is 7 calories. So then you can do the math by looking at the alcohol by volume and to the size pour that you have. But the thing that's not on there, again, what Julie, we were saying, is the sugar.
The residual
the
sugar.
The only way you can really find that is if you do a little research and you have to get on the winery's website. And a lot of times they will have the tech sheets and they will have that information. Not all the time, but if you really want to know and you're a calorie counter and you're very serious about it, that's the only way you're going to find out what that one glass, that one bottle that you really love, what the caloric count is on that.
Yeah, and those tech sheets are one of those things that you and I both use when we were in the business
right.
of selling wine to try to sell those wines to people. You know, when you take them out and you trot them around town and mm-hmm. say, "Here, this would be a great addition,"
right?
And then people will ask you, "Well, what's the residual sugar on this?" And I remember people asking that. I'm like, you know, do you really care?
Yeah.
I mean, do you know? But there is a lot of information on the internet, and a lot of these wineries do include information about like the vineyard site, the mm-hmm. hill, how many hours of sunshine the vines got. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there you can find. And usually in there is residual sugar.
Right.
So if you're really trying to dissect your wine and figure out what the calorie situation is, and I don't know, there's not a whole lot of variation. I did some math when I did that one article a while back.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
Yeah. Okay. So these everyday white wine with 10% alcohol, it's about 135 calories for a 6 ounce glass. And I'm talking about, this is reality, 6 mm-hmm. ounces. Okay. That's just a little bit less than a York peppermint patty.
Hmm.
Red has a little bit more sugar, and I'm talking like 1 gram of sugar, but higher alcohol than white. So you're going to plan on 160 calories there. That's the same as 2 fun size Snickers.
Hmm.
The dieter's wine choice should be sparkling dry wine, clocking it at 115 calories for a generous Julie's style 6 ounce pour. And that's thanks to lower alcohol and low residual sugar, because even though they do add sugar, they usually ferment a lot of that stuff out. But then, you know, again, it becomes alcohol and the byproduct of the bubbles. Glass of sparkling is about the same as 2 little bags of Skittles.
Hmm.
But if you're drinking a big high alcohol California cab, you're going to be up in your calorie total to equal a couple of ounces of candy corn or a Reese's peanut butter pumpkin, which sounds like a big wad of sugar to me.
Oh, but sounds really good, too.
170 calories per glass for a big, huge, high-alcohol California cab. So that's kind of a quick rundown. But a German Spätlese Riesling with 69 grams of sugar per liter and 8% alcohol, that's going to be 110 calories in a 6 ounce glass. But you have that same 6 ounce glass with a 16% California Zin with 3 grams of sugar, and you're at 190 calories. So it's really interesting how that math seems so
mm-hmm.
wonky. And then the other thing people, they get concerned about is the sulfites. How many times do you hear people concerned
about
sulfites?
Oh, I've got a headache. And, you know, and I've had people send me samples of these little drops and things you put in the wine that claim to not affect the taste and get rid of the sulfites. And I did a little blind tasting on that, and it did affect the taste. It was subtle, but, you know, if you really want that fresh red, and I let somebody try it who claims to suffer from headaches when they drink red wine. They said they didn't get a headache, but it was not even a full glass that they drank either when we were trying out these sulfite drops. So I tend to think that...
So there are drops on the market that you drop into your wine and it allegedly takes out the sulfites.
Yes.
Where do the sulfites go? Do they just crystallize at the bottom of the glass?
I'll have to pull out that research to find out chemically what these drops do to neutralize or to bind to whatever. You know, I'm not up on my chemistry on this particular bit, but I'm going to look for that now that you asked.
Well, and the thing is, you know, when you look at the contents, the amount of sulfites in a glass of wine, and then you put that next to lunch meat or a dried apricot that is still orange, that has they have sulfites in it, a lot. I mean, it's like the difference is staggering. There's like, you know, on a little graph, you have like maybe an eighth of an inch height as far as the amount of sulfites. And then when you get to the lunch meat and the
it's way up there.
Apricots, it's like, thwong, it's at the top of the page.
Well, you know, then you touch on something. Maybe the people who get the headaches when they're drinking the red wine are having them with a charcuterie board. And they're not realizing that it's not the wine, it's the meat and the cheese and the other things that they're putting in their body at the same time.
Well, I've talked to allergists who have told me that if somebody does have a sulfite allergy or a problem with sulfites and they're consuming them, they're going to have a problem with breathing, constriction of their windpipe, and those kinds of reactions.
Not a headache.
A headache is because you drink too much water. You're dehydrated. Okay, just drink some water.
I'm glad you called that one out. Or have some water.
Yeah, just drink some water. Yeah. And the sulfite thing, every time I'm just like, do you like dried apricots? Oh, I love them. I eat them all the time. Well, then you don't have a sulfite problem.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't. You just don't. Do not. There is something else or some other compound. But there are people who can have allergic reactions to wines based on the histamines that are on the outside of the grape skins.
The grape, right.
Right? You know, so I know people who couldn't have wine from a certain region in Australia because the grapes grow really close to there's like a eucalyptus windbreak along this like as a region, and it's an entire region that they get a lot of eucalyptus, histamines.
Pollen. Kind of that stuff.
Yeah. So that gets on the grapes, and these people can't really have wine from that area because it causes them to have a runny nose and the headachy and inflammation kind of.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that could be something for people to research who are listening and say, well, I've had that problem, or I have a friend or my spouse or so-and-so has this, and they're hindering me from enjoying wines because we can't share the bottles anymore.
Plus the way that the wines are produced these days with the pesticides and the herbicides and intensive farming, there's all kinds of stuff that could be on there that you may not know about unless you're getting something that's organic, biodynamic, considered a natural wine, things like that. And that's going to be a subject for a whole nother show.
Yes, because even the ones who practice that in their fields, just because you're doing it, Farmer Joe, two parcels down isn't, you know, that's blowing over onto your field. So you can really have the best intentions and they can be thwarted so easily.
So bottom line, calories in wine, if you're looking to watch your weight, stick with the sparkling. It seems like it has fewer calories and probably not Moscato.
And a Brut or a Brut Natur.
Yeah, don't get the sweet ones.
Yeah.
And then white wine, and then watch that alcohol amount, that percent of alcohol. That's really going to up your calorie intake. And then also the big M.
Moderation.
Moderation.
I'm going
can
to
be
wrap my arms around moderation for the next 24 hours.
Anyway, that was Grape Minds, talking a little bit about some of the health concerns regarding wine. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Grape Minds is produced at WGCU Studios on FGCU campus in Fort Myers, Florida. Our producers for online media are Anna Bejarano and Tara Callaghan. Technical production is by Richard Chin Kui. Grape Minds theme music, Frizzante, is by Colin Mannon. To get in touch, check grapeminds.org. Thanks for listening.